Voice Radio.
Hello and welcome to Kind Voice Radio. I'm David Levinson. On today's show, we're going to try to say something about sanctuaries. And my fellow host, Jessica Grinspan, has some real interesting takes on the idea of sanctuaries. So I'd like to bring her into the program. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Hi, David. How are you?
Doing good. How's that guest chair feeling?
Oh, the guest chair. Nice and comfy. I have my feet propped up after a nice long run. So.
Yeah, good deal. So you have some interesting ideas of sanctuaries, but can you lay out for us what a sanctuary is?
Sure. When we were talking about this earlier, I happened to look up the definition of sanctuary in my favorite dictionary, the Oxford English Dictionary. And most broadly, it's defined as refuge or safety from pursuit, persecution, or other danger. And as a Latin nerd who took classical studies, especially in college, it comes from the Latin word sanctus, or holy.
And David McCollum, he wrote In the Course of Human Events. So he's a history writer who kind of weaves history and philosophy together very well. He has a very interesting passage about sanctuaries. Can you share that?
Yeah, this really, really spoke to me. He's just absolutely eloquent. So he wrote, when the world is storm-driven and the bad that happens and the worst that threatens are so urgent as to shut out everything else from view, then we need to know all the strong fortresses of the spirit which men have built through the ages. It's just powerful. Strong fortresses of
the spirit.
It definitely creates a different mental, a different picture than a physical sanctuary that people think that.
And you have a very interesting take on sanctuaries, but before we get to it, you're a long distance runner. Can you tell the folks about your running?
Yeah. So running is my mobile sanctuary, and I've always thought of it as a mobile sanctuary. It's something that I came to a little bit later in life. I did not run competitively when I was in school, but after I graduated from college, I started to, it wasn't like the typical story that you hear where somebody is trying to, just exercise for the sake of exercise. I've always been kind of hyperactive, and when I turned to running and just let my feet propel me forward, I got into this sort of state of flow, like the Aristotelian concept of flow state. And I was also in the process of dealing with some childhood trauma and trying to figure out how to find my sanctuary from it. And it was really interesting. People told me to try to meditate, and just the thought of sitting there humming mantras didn't really resonate with me, but I found I could get myself into a very meditative, very comfortable, resilient sort of state as I was running, and I just kept running further and further. And over time, I realized that, as the distance gets longer, that's really where I begin to enjoy the process even more. So marathons to me, 26.2 miles, that's nothing. It takes me half of that to get into my state of flow. So the longer the distance, the more I can relax, the more I can turn inward and get into that contemplative state and really think about my life philosophy and what I want my purpose to be.
How far have you ran?
Oh, I have run quite a bit. As of now, I've only run about 32 miles at one time, but I have done 50 miles within a 24-hour period, not all at once. And I've done a week of a marathon, my own personal marathon, every single day. And it's just, I didn't realize until very recently that traditional, like, official 50 milers and 100 milers and even longer, that these races exist. So in 2019, I have a 50 miler coming up in Philadelphia in May, and I'm hoping to do an 100 miler during the summer. And yeah, I love the process. You know, if I could just run every day, at least 20 miles a day would be ideal. I don't have the time for that, but it's so enjoyable, and I do it for the process. I do it for my mental health, even though I can be a little bit competitive in a race environment.
Now, you mentioned the Aristotelian state. Can you expand upon that?
Yeah, so Aristotle, he didn't actually say it was a state of flow, but that's kind of how we interpret it now. I've always liked his concept of eudaimonia. So that's really when you talk about happiness or well-being, overall well-being from the ancient Greek perspective, Aristotle described eudaimonia, which is not just pleasure. You know, we could get pleasure from food, any number of stimuli, but an overall sense of purpose, meaning, engagement, just kind of like when people throw around the psychology term self-actualization at the top of that pyramid of needs. It's more of a connection, a mind-body connection, where you understand where you want to, you understand your philosophy and your purpose.
Garth Starn, in his book, The Sudden Light, he spoke about a wood sculptor who, when he sculpted wood, he knew exactly what was right with the world that he lived in. Is that the state you get into when you're running?
Yes, it definitely is. I can be tormented by whatever storms are outside, external to my body, or whatever, emotional challenges I'm having. But once I get into that very rhythmic cadence of running, then I can feel like I'm at peace. And there's actually a book that recently came out from Megan Roach. She's an ultra runner, and the title of the book is Happy Runner. And she kind of describes this state very well. And the philosophy in that book is very well aligned with my own. It's kind of like, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what your personal record is or how you fared in a specific race. It's all of that is meaningless. But if you can really contemplate your philosophy, your mission, your mission while you're running, and then use it in relationships, like, you realize relationships are the most important thing, and running is just a tool to get you there. And it works. It's a very personal thing. I have friends who say, I've never experienced the endorphin rush of running. What's wrong with you? It's torture. But yeah, you can find your passion. It doesn't have to be kinetic. It can be through art or music.
And you talked about cultivating that relationship between the internal and the external with running. It's a kind of way for you to make that connection. Am I understanding correctly?
Yeah. So it's really that concept of self-care that people talk about. Like, you can be a kind voice to other people, but at some point that all has to stem from practicing kindness toward yourself. Again, that's very personal, very individual. So whatever you do to practice kindness toward yourself, it's, you know, taking the time to disconnect from the chaos that's around you and turn inward and build those fortresses of the spirit that that are unbreakable over time. And it takes practice. You engage all your senses, and you have to become one with the present moment. And as you do that, you decide, or you figure out what your passion really is, what makes you what brings you to that state of flow, and your brain forms those connections, and you're able to conjure up that mobile sanctuary whenever you need it. It's portable. It's not a place that you escape to, that you, you could be thousands of miles away, and just after practice, you know what you need to do to get to your, a lot of people call it a happy place. I don't know. I don't like to use the word happy, but I like well-being a little bit better. It has to do with engagement, social relationships, connection, meaning, philosophy, a lot more than just pleasure.
Joshua Rich was a guest on our program a couple of times, and he wrote a very beautiful song that's kind of a meditation on making this connection. So I'd like to play this song and then get your take on how it connects with what you're talking about. So this is Joshua Rich, Tapestry of Loving Sound.
Here in our garden, we gather to share all that's inside of us, how much we care, find strength in our differences, and reach common ground. Celebrate our unity in a tapestry of loving sound. So make a kind choice with your kind voice, and united we will find our kind voices which sing out in unity, creating community and bringing us together as one. Some of us make movies, some of us sing songs, find forgiveness for a choice that was wrong. Some of us be children, some help people in need, and all of us in our own way are planting a loving seed. When we make a kind choice, kind voices inside which sing out in unity, creating community
And that was Joshua Rich with Tapestry of Love and Sound. Jessica, how does the ideas expressed in that song connect with the mobile sanctuary concept and the tapestry of good energy coming together that you spoke of earlier?
Yeah, well, first I want to say that's a really powerful song. I love how he reinforces the themes, you know, united, we will find our kind voices inside, find strength in our differences, creating community, and finally bringing us together as one. Yeah, this really, really plays into or is really aligned with our theme. At A Kind Voice, we share stories of empowerment, innovation, and creativity, and kindness is that silent mobile sanctuary. You can look at it as a vast tapestry of connections that provide safety, tranquility, and comfort to many whom society has shunned. And we've actually had a number of guests who have used the sanctuary kind of model.
Do any examples come to mind?
Yeah. One of my favorite interviews was actually with Steve Hunter, who runs Switchback Cyclery, a nonprofit organization and bike shop in Canada. He owns the bike shop and teaches marginalized populations such as homeless people, those with mental illness, who have been shunned by society, and trains them to be innovative and productive members of society and gives them meaning through relationships. And one theme that he continued to emphasize throughout that interview was just that, I mean, he quoted, every poverty in the world seems to stem from poverty of relationships. And that, you know, poverty of relationships, again, that ties to the Joshua Rich song, find strength in our differences, united, we will find our kind voices inside and bring us together as one. So again, if we turn our kind voices inward and build our sanctuaries, then we're strengthened and we're able to use those strengths to turn our kind voices outward. And that is the fabric of kindness that is woven deep from everyday acts of empathy and altruism that we share on the show.
That is very, very profound. Now, as you run, is music integrated into your ritual when you go out for runs? And if so, what music is helpful to you?
It definitely does. Sometimes I listen to podcasts and I listen to a lot of science podcasts, so I get some learning in. But music has always been sort of a mobile sanctuary for me as well. And it really depends what mood I'm in. If I'm going for a faster run, then I will turn on some upbeat dance music. But a lot of times when I want to get into that meditative flow state and I'm going for something in the double digit miles, one artist I really appreciated and actually met at a show several years back in Philadelphia, his name is Ulrich Schnauss, and he has a couple of albums, including Faraway Trains Passing By and A Strangely Isolated Place. And there's one song, it's about 6 minutes or so, called Clear Day. And it has a beautiful dissonance that really speaks to me, because it's like there's chaos from multiple different sources and they come together and they form a harmony. So even though it's dissonant, there's a harmony. And that's kind of the state that I'm in when I'm running. It's like from work and I have maybe personal stressors, and when they come together, it can seem like chaos and entropy at first, but when you have your sanctuary, you can put it all together and be very contemplative and turn it into some sort of melody, which is what Joshua Rich did.
Another one of our singers, Crystal Lester, she wrote a song, and in that song she talked about using melodies or using ingredients that inspire harmony. So it sounds like you put a bunch of ingredients together that inspire that inner harmony.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a recipe. I don't cook, but I used to do produce some music myself, and I dabbled a little bit in electronica, which was inspired by Ulrich Knaus's works after I heard of him on NPR's Echoes.
So this is a very interesting idea she shared about a mobile sanctuary, because it makes the idea of sanctuary accessible. It's always within you and within your reach. And that's a very powerful thing. Did you have any concluding thoughts on mobile sanctuaries that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I mean, it's a mobile sanctuary is a very personal thing. How you construct the walls of your inner sanctuary and the means by which you enter its embrace is a deeply personal journey. So if you're an artist, you might splash some color onto canvas. The poet sculpts language into life. The cellist tickles strings into song. So, even when I'm far away and even when I'm injured and I can't run, I can kind of channel that energy within myself and just the process of visualization, not visualization, maybe imagery, because you engage all of your senses. I can get to that place. I know exactly what the road or the trail feels like under my feet. And the, if I'm running across a grassy meadow, which is part of one of the Philadelphia trails, I know what the grass feels like under my shoes. I know what the air smells like. And when I conjure up all that imagery together, it brings me to that place. And that just comes with practice. So I encourage everybody to take what they're passionate about, take what brings them to that contemplative place, and really channel it. Be present in the moment.
It's interesting, all the different people who have found different ways to do this. Winston Churchill, when he was out of office, he laid bricks to get into that sanctuary. And he wrote something to the effect that we shape all walls, thereafter they shape us. So he actually built physical walls to get him into that state.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, there's another quote by Hermann Hesse, who wrote Siddhartha, and he talked about the internal sanctuary. The quote was, "Within you there is a stillness and sanctuary to which you can retreat at any time and be yourself." That's really powerful, you know, the aspect of being yourself. And so when you build that mobile sanctuary, you're disconnecting from the chaos around you and really finding out who you are and contemplating your own personal purpose. And once you know what that is, then it's easy. You go out and turn that kindness outward. You know exactly where you want to direct it, and you make the world a kinder, more connected place.
And Jessica, you've summed this up really well in a blog post.
Yeah, so I wrote a blog post titled Miles to My Mobile Sanctuary, How Running Creates Connection, and there's a link to it right in the show description.
Very inspirational. Thank you so much for sharing this.
Oh, thank you so much for letting me be in the comfy guest chair.
Absolutely. So my big takeaway from what Jessica shared with the idea of a mobile sanctuary is how with a physical sanctuary, you have to make an outward journey to get to that place. With a mobile sanctuary, you're making an inward journey to get to that place, or to that feeling of safety and sanctuary. So I hope that you guys go out and use your kind voice to make our world a kinder, more connected place. I'd like to close with Crystal Lester singing Kind Voices Coming Together.
Inside of you, it doesn't always happen. creature, every self who